Lost Trail Conservation Easement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. The next one is another pretty significant conservation easement and is also up for final approval. And before I forget, I want to acknowledge the help from the Trust for Public Land that they've given us throughout this whole project, including in helping secure the easement and helping secure the funding from Forest Legacy. So with that, this proposal is proposed to purchase a conservation easement on 7,256 acres of important timberland and wildlife habitat in Northwest Montana near Marion. The land is now owned by Southern Pine Plantations. When we started this project and you endorsed it, it was owned by Weyerhaeuser, and previous to that by Plum Creek. So we're now working with Southern Pines Plantation, and we're really happy that they agreed to continue the effort that was started before their acquisition of the property. The easement provides habitat for two important elk herds, for grizzly bears, for lynx. It serves as a movement corridor linking Glacier Park and the Cabinet Mountains Wilderness, and helps contribute to a landscape that provides habitat for a number of game and non-game wildlife. The parcel shares a 7-mile border with the 7,800 acre Lost Trail National Wildlife Refuge. And interesting enough, this was identified as a priority by our region one, more than a decade ago. And so we're pleased to be able to bring it to the commission after this time. In addition to the important wildlife habitat values, the ridgetop and sloping hills of the property help protect the water quality of that water that flows into the National Wildlife Refuge and provides important migratory waterfowl habitat and other wetland birds. So a lot of important values to the habitat. The easement will maintain the land as a working forest and will preclude subdivision development, which are two important components. The appraised value of the easement is $4,550,000. The purchase price will not exceed $4,150,000. And Southern Pines Plantation will be donating the difference in value, about $400,000 worth of value. The majority of the funding, about 75%, is coming from Forest Legacy, a U.S. Forest Service program that provides funding to help keep working forests as working forests. Additional amount, about 23%, will be coming from Habitat Montana, just under $1 million. And then there will also be $50,000 coming from the Fish and Wildlife Conservation Trust. On the proposal itself, we received 15 comments on the proposed project. 14 were in support. The other comment was from an owner of the mineral rights underlie about 95% of the easement. The primary purpose of that comment was to inform the department that most of the easement area is subject to those existing and dominant mineral rights. And so I just because this has been an issue in some other easements, I want to take a few minutes and talk about that. So as part of our due diligence, and also as part of the Forest Legacy funding requirements, we contract with professional geologists to assess mineral potential. In the case of this project, the minerals determination report was authored by a gentleman by the name of David Donahue, who's a hydrogeologist and registered professional geologist with 30 years of experience in natural resources and water rights. Mr. Donahue has a BA and MS in geology and hydrogeology respectively, and has conducted many mineral determinations involving federal programs for conservation partners in Montana and other states, including for the Nature Conservancy, the Elk Foundation, the Forest Service, the Trust for Public Lands, and other organizations. He did an assessment of the mineral potential on the land that's subject of the easement and concluded that the likelihood of mineral development on the property is so remote as to be negligible. regardless of that, and as noted in the decision notice that was included in your packet, the comments brought up by the mineral right owner, who is known as WRH Nevada Properties LLC out of Rexburg, Idaho, those comments kind of fall broadly into three categories. One is the impact of the conservation easement on the WRH's subsurface mineral rights. Number two is the impact of WRH's buyback surface rights. And number three is the determination by Hydro Solutions, the company that Mr. Donahue works with that did the assessment. So the determination by Hydro Solutions that the likelihood of mineral development on the property is remote. So to address those comments that were submitted, and again, this is in the decision notice. First, I want to make clear that with respect to the issue about the impact of the easement on the subsurface mineral rights, our easement makes it clear that FWP's interests are subordinate to the mineral owner's rights to explore for and extract minerals to the fullest extent of their rights. FWP concurs with WRH's determination or characterization that the mineral estate is the dominant estate under Montana law. FWP agrees that Montana law guarantees a mineral right owner the right to occupy the surface estate in order to access and develop their minerals. And it should be noted that as a grantee of the conservation easement, FWP only acquires rights that otherwise belong to the surface owner, in this case, Southern Pines Plantation. If Southern Pines cannot prevent WRH from accessing their rights to any underlying minerals, and all parties agree they can't, neither can FWP as holder of just the conservation easement. The conservation easement on the surface estate is not only within SPP's, Southern Pines' right to grant, as even WRH notes, it also cannot prevent the owner of mineral estate from developing their mineral rights. So again, this again is similar to some other easements. We are not contesting the mineral rights or the ability to develop those mineral rights. The second issue is buyback rights, which allow WRH to buy back surface rights on approximately 3,500 acres of the area currently proposed for conservation easement. And what we've noted is to the degree WRH is seeking to reserve those rights and put FWP on notice of them, FWP recognizes and acknowledges those rights. The easement does not prohibit transfer of ownership of the property. So they can exercise those rights as they're allowed. Finally, WRH asserts they have proprietary information showing that mineral development is likely under the property. Accordingly, they disagree with the conclusion of our contractor, Hydro Solutions, that the potential for development of mineral estate underlying the proposed easement is so remote as it being negligible. One thing to point out is we haven't seen that proprietary information, and so we're going on the conclusions of our professional contractor. And that conclusion was based on standard industry practice using recognized techniques and was consistent with the practices we use in all of our conservation easement projects around the state. That conclusion was accepted by the Department of Agriculture's Forest Legacy Program, which is providing the majority of the funding. One thing I did want to point out, it's our understanding that Southern Pines did discuss purchase of those mineral rights with WRH, but the two parties had differing opinions on worth of those mineral rights. So in closing, based on the strong support for the project, we're asking the commission to give final approval to complete this important easement. It has strong community and statewide support. And like all of our easements, it does not limit or preclude exercise of mineral rights not owned by the surface owner. Because of the complexity of the mineral right issues, we do have legal staff. We have Zach Zipfel and Becky from our office, as well as there's a couple folks from Trust for Public Land that have been involved in this project and the mineral rights issue. I believe they're available. And then I believe we also have a representative from Southern Pines Plantation who may also want to comment. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions that I can, and I'll look to back up on the more complicated legal questions.
Thank you, Mr. McDonald. Yeah, I think I would like to hear from Zach or Becky or both, before we take a motion. If they'd like to present and talk about the work that they've done in evaluating the legal standing that everybody has here. Now, of course, we deal with this issue of split estates on our conservation easements all the time, but I think it's a good reminder for us. So Zach or Becky or any of the other folks that were engaged in that. Don't all unmute at once.
Chair Colton, this is Becky Doctor, Chief Legal Counsel, and I have spoken with Zach Zipfel on this, and he may have more to add, but basically it is as Ken McDonald represented. It's a fairly accepted and long accepted principle of property law that mineral rights or the mineral subsurface estate and the surface estate are treated differently, and the dominant estate is the subsurface. What that means practically is that if the owner of the mineral rights underneath the conservation easement and property that we may acquire wants to develop those mineral rights, they can do so and exercise those rights. I think Ken's point was a really good one about the fact that these rights are no different whether they're held by the owner, Southern Pines Plantation, or by Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. They can still be developed and they still would be treated the exact same way. What happens in this circumstance is, and how we work with that subsurface owner in the event they want to develop, is defined by the conservation easement terms. And as was already presented, it is represented in the terms of that easement that we consider them dominant estate in this circumstance, and all others where there are mineral rights underneath the conservation easements that we acquire. And so I believe the points made by Mr. McDonald were good ones, and fully supported by the law and longstanding law in Montana. And if there's any other questions more specifically, we can answer those as well. Thank you. Unless Zach has anything to add, we can take questions, other specific questions as well.
Thank you. And again, I read the one letter. We've not been provided with the proprietary report talking about the potential for some measure of immediate mineral development. Is that correct?
That's my understanding, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Can I have a question?
From the commission, go ahead.
My question is on the BIPAC. The split estate on the minerals, I don't have much of a problem with that. But the question on the buyback on the 3,500 acres, if they choose to exercise that, does that do away with the conservation easement on the 3,500 acres? Or if this goes through and they decide to buy it back, not knowing what their agreement is with the present landowner, how does that affect our easement?
Commissioner Stuker, Chair Colton, members of the commission, and Director Williams, this is Zach Zipfel. I didn't weigh in earlier, and I want to give a warning here. My internet seems to be a little spotty, and so if I cut out, I apologize for that. Commissioner Stuker, in our analysis, not just in our legal unit, but also in conjunction with legal staff for the Trust for Public Land, it was our conclusion that in the event that the mineral owner exercised those buyback rights, they would take subject to the conservation easement. To the degree that there would be a legal dispute about that, though, the conservation easement does have language that explains how, if the easement is extinguished, how the money that was used to acquire the easement gets allocated among the parties.
Okay.
Further questions, Vice Chairman Stuker?
No, I just got to think about that for a little while, so continue.
Okay. Any other comments, questions from the commission or a motion?
I have a question for the legal staff. I understand that anytime a mineral right owner wants to exercise their rights and explore for oil or gas or minerals, that they have to negotiate a surface occupancy. Can you describe that process? And or does this mean the dominant estate, does that mean they can do whatever they want? I would appreciate your insight.
Commissioner Byorth, Vice or Chair Colton, member of the commission, Montana law provides a specific process by which the mineral owner exercises those rights. I'm not off the top of my head an expert on everything that the statute provides. We have dealt with this in other conservation easements in the past. A few years ago, some of you might remember the Horse Creek conservation easement in the eastern part of the state. But Montana law provides quite a bit of specificity as to what the arrangements have to be between the mineral owner and the surface owner if the mineral owner proceeds to occupy the surface estate in order to acquire those mineral rights. I can certainly elaborate on that, but it's set forth in Montana code, and there's a fair amount of specificity as to that.
Follow up, please. Mr. Zipfel, does that mean then the conservation easement cannot abrogate that requirement?
Commissioner Byorth, that's correct. The conservation easement would remain in place. Again, we think about this relationship between the three parties. What we have is a surface owner and a mineral owner. And when the department acquires a conservation easement, they effectively acquire some of the rights of the surface owner, but not all of them. To the degree that Montana law is clear that the surface owner can't restrict the mineral owner's access to the mineral rights, there's simply no way that surface owner could then grant the department the ability to do that.
Thank you.
Just a quick comment, as I've had some lawsuits involve my place in this exact situation. It's a split estate on the home place here. I own the surface rights. A company leased the minerals, came in, and as it's very expensive to reclaim when a well goes dry, they have basically just said they are shut in wells and have left the structure sitting out there on the property. Oil and Gas Commission, who I've spoke with, they have no rules in place that will force them to go out and remove those structures as long as there is any type of gas that will be released when they open the valve. They're thinking of changing that law. Another example was about 40 years ago when coal was looked at here in this area, 70 feet below the ground, there's a huge coal reserve in this area. At that time, my dad was running the place, and he hired lawyers to see if he could keep them from stripping the surface off, which was our hayfields and whatnot. And they said, absolutely not. They have to pay damages. but they could go in and do that as long as they reclaimed it. And I think that's very similar with what is happening up here. If they decide to go in, they're going to be able to go in, but we could charge damages, but it may be very tough to get the surface back to the way it was before they went in. So that's where that report, if it's accurate, that there's very little chance of minerals being extracted, I think is very important. When I read that letter, it seemed to me like, and Mr. McDonald kind of mentioned this with the current owners, that these people wanted to sell the mineral rights. I don't know what they were asking. I don't know if there's a way the department could go in and buy those mineral rights. If we could, I think that would add tremendously to this easement, because then we would have control. That is one of the things that's on the Milk River Ranch up here. The previous owners who sold that property to the department for WMA kept the mineral rights and the rights for paleontology and whatever else is there. So at any time, if they decided, they could go in and start digging, which would kind of ruin our conservation easement. And I guess the last thing I'll say, when I first got on a CAC committee in Region 6, and Andrew may remember this, Pat Gunderson brought forward some of the first conservation easements that were done in Wyoming, where they started out with a oil well in the center of 640 acres. And by the time they got done, there was an oil well on that conservation easement. I believe it was every 20 acres. And so those are some of the things that we need to look out for. But again, if the report is right and there's not many minerals there, I think it's a very good project.
Thank you, Vice Chair Seeker. Commissioner McKean.
Do we have any real clarity in terms of what mineral resources could be developed? Is it quarry stone? Is it coal? Is it oil and gas, you know, based on any sort of neighboring development?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner McKean, the letter from the mineral right owner mentions metals. So I'm assuming, you know, they're talking about gold, silver, copper, other kinds of metal minerals. Again, the geologist that we hired, he indicated again that the it's negligible, that what would be there is negligible. So it's somewhere on that spectrum, but if minerals, it's probably along the metal minerals.
Do we have a motion on the proposal?
Mr. Chairman, if I can get my machine to wake up again. I move the commission approve FWP's purchase of Lost Trail Conservation Easement as presented.
Second.
We got a motion, and Commissioner Vice Chairman Seeker seconded. We'll go ahead and turn it out for public comment right now. Again, standard procedure, *9, and you'll be recognized. State your name, any organizations with which you're affiliated, and where you're from. We have a caller with the last four of 914.
Chairman Colton. Commissioners, Director Williams. I'm Jim Vashrow, the president of Flathead Wildlife in Kalispell, Montana. And Flathead Wildlife strongly supports the proposed Lost Trail Conservation Easement, an area commonly known as Dredger Ridge. The Lost Trail Refuge is primarily grasslands, and adjacent Dredger Ridge is primarily timberlands. So Dredger is really important in terms of providing security and thermal cover. And protection of this area will more than double the effectiveness of the Lost Trail Refuge. There are a number of access points through Dredger Ridge, and it's also will provide timber in the future for area sawmills. On a bigger picture, corporate timberlands are really important for wildlife habitat and public access here in Northwest Montana. And Stimson Lumber and Stoltz-Landman Lumber have already been great cooperators. We hope that this proposed easement will just be the start of more easements with both Southern Pines Plantation and Green Diamond Resources. And in closing, Flathead Wildlife would just like to thank the outgoing commissioners for all your years of hard work on behalf of Fish and Wildlife and the sportsmen and women of Montana. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rasho, for your comments and for your kind words. Further public comment, star 9. Mr. Giebach, it looks like you're up next.
Yeah, commissioners, this is Nick Giebach with the Montana Wildlife Federation. I just want to echo Jim Bashrow's comments. We just, you know, this is the heart of the best elk hunting in Region 1, I understand, or some of the best elk hunting, I should say. And we just hope that this is the beginning of many easements. And we know the timber companies up there have been good partners, and we hope Weyerhaeuser is one as where there are actually not Weyerhaeuser, but the new owner there has thus far shown a willingness to work with us. And we hope this is the beginning of many other future conservation easements. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Giebach. Caller ending in 000.
Chairman Colton and commissioners, good afternoon. This is Eric Moody with Southern Pines. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good. I also have online with me here this afternoon, Pat Patton. As y'all have said, SPP owns the land, which will be subject to this Lost Trail conservation easement. After listening to local community comments, we've worked really hard to ensure that much of these private timberlands will remain working forest and open to the public. As a willing seller of this conservation easement, we believe this is the best tool to achieve that positive outcome. We strongly support the completion of the easement. In fact, as stated, Southern Pines is donating a significant amount of value as part of the project, based on our interest in having it completed on the current timeline. SPP has every right under the law to grant the deed of a conservation easement, and like all of the other parties involved, we have acted in good faith and consistent with FLP guidelines. While we recognize and respect the rights of the mineral owner of these lands, our goal is not to adversely impact his rights. We would hope and expect that he would not intentionally adversely impact our rights as the fee surface landowner. We urge the commission to approve the purchase of this conservation easement so that all the parties can continue toward a successful closing on this, our first project together. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Moody, and thank you to Southern Pines for being an outstanding cooperator with Montana's recreationalists, especially its elk hunters. Further public comment? Caller ending in 670.
Chairman, there they are. Sorry.
Go ahead, we have you now. Six seven zero. Hello.
Harry Zink. I'm a resident of Marion, Montana, and I'm a lifelong bow hunter and houndsman, and I look at this Dredger Ridge and the Lost Trail easement out my office window every day. I appreciate what Southern Pines has done in offering this up. And, you know, the residents of the Flathead Valley are going to appreciate this too, as are, you know, the residents of Marion. The number of days that is hunted on this is pretty incredible during the year. We want to appreciate this, and we hope that you guys will approve this. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, for your comments. Further comments? Do we have anybody left in the queue, Shauna or Katie?
Chairman and Commission, I'm not seeing any further comments.
Okay. With that, I'll bring it back to the Commission. Any further discussion from the Commission? Well, great thanks to Region 1, you know, and to tag on to other public lands in the area. You know, we're going to be this split estate issue comes up all the time, and Vice Chairman Stuker brought it up, and there was discussion about, you know, purchasing the mineral rights, and that's always a discussion that's maybe worth having, but we always need to make sure that the concerns that are voiced are true concerns and not an attempt at leverage to get us to prematurely engage in negotiations over mineral rights. Or to be leveraged into trying to purchase those if that's not a wise use of dollars. And that's a concern that I have with the process and the communication that we sometimes receive discussing these mineral rights. And so I just would caution the next commission and others to, you know, really look at what's being said when there's this discussion. Well, the evidence we have in front of us now is that the chance of development is extremely remote. And that is the report that stands. There's no report that stands in contrast to that. And so I think our decision is very easy. And certainly we've given that consideration. SPP has chosen to provide this conservation easement and in cooperative, and as Mr. Moody said, in good faith. And we hope that good faith can apply across the board. So with that, I'll call for the vote. All in favor of the motion?
Chair Colton, I apologize. We do have one more person that did sneak their hand, and I think there might be a slight delay or something.
Okay, well, we'll go ahead then. I don't want to cut off time. Caller ending in 599.
Hi, Chairman Colton, members of the Commission, Director Williams. This is Peter Scott. Can you hear me all right, sir?
Yes, Mr. Scott, go ahead.
Thank you, and I apologize. I pressed #9 thinking I was raising my hand earlier and realized when you said there were no more that I had made a mistake. So I appreciate you getting me in. I am an attorney in Bozeman, and I represent WRH Nevada Properties. That's the mineral estate owner. I appreciate the work you've done and all of those involved, as does WRH. I think the issue that hasn't been discussed and that you need to take note of in your deliberations is focusing on eligibility for funding and the process which FWP uses. We heard from a landowner in the prior agenda item who expressed frustration with the fact that the agency and other proponents had not approached adjacent landowners and worked with them in this process. In this case, as everybody has acknowledged, we have a property owner whose rights are directly affected, and the Forest Legacy Program guideline requirements to approach those third-party interest holders and seek to merge title whenever that's possible or practical. In this case, as in the prior agenda item, there was no such approach. Nobody's ever come to the mineral right owner and said, what would it take in order to either acquire your rights or subordinate them so that the eligibility requirements, most notably the perpetuity requirement, can be satisfied. And in a case like this where public funds are being used, it's very important to get through that process and ensure that the eligibility requirements are met. And I submit in this case, they were not. There was no approach. I heard a comment made that SPP had some conversation. My understanding of the facts is that SPP had no interest in acquiring the mineral rights at the time that discussion took place. But those are probably factual questions that can be resolved at another time. I heard you comment or comments made about the fact that there's proprietary information. And I'm shifting now into this question of what the effect of the remoteness report is and how that's been used. Rather than seeking to acquire these rights, the proponents went straight to a remoteness study, which we think is factually unsupportable. But again, that's a disputed question of fact. Procedurally, no effort was made to acquire these rights before a remoteness study was conducted. And I appreciate Mr. Moody's comments about the fact that they have no intent to adversely affect the mineral estate. But I submit that when the state of Montana publishes a report and records a conveyance indicating that the likelihood of mineral development is so remote as to be negligible, you have a profound effect on the value of those mineral rights. The information that was identified as proprietary is exactly that. If mining companies went around publishing where they think minerals are present, it wouldn't be long before they were out of business. The issue in this case, though, is public information. And I specifically reference the report prepared by Deb Hanneman at Whitehall for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in the larger Lost Trail Conservation Area work, identifies the existence of mineral-bearing deposits that are well-known targets for mineral exploration. It isn't just extraction that you need to consider in making a remoteness study. It's mineral development and exploration. So I think that covers most of the things I wanted to bring up, and I appreciate you getting me in. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Scott. Is there further public comment? As we heard, there's been some confusion. It's common that people are hitting pound nine. They get star nine. And that's an easy mistake to make. So I want to just give a moment here to make sure there's no one else.
Chair Colton, members of the commission, I'm seeing no one else.
Okay. All right, any further comment or questions from the commission? I'm seeing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.